welcome to Big Fat Positive with Shauna and Laura. On this week's episode, we have our weekly check-ins. We have our special segment, which is an interview with Stephanie Lehman, the donor coordinator at the University of California Health Milk Bank, where Laura is donating her breast milk. And we wrap it up with our weekly BFPs and BFNs. Let's get started. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. It's episode 187. And Laura, are you with us?
Hello. I'm here.
Hi. Oh, good. How's life? How's everything going over there?
Good. So I have an 11-month-old officially as of yesterday.
What?
Yeah.
What? Can we just pause for a moment to make this about me really quick?
Uh-huh.
And be like, I've seen your sweet child like 3 times total, and now he's like 11 months, and like, how is that possible? I need to see him more.
When you put it that way, it makes me really sad.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's a stupid pandemic, man. And you know, also like non-pandemic stuff, because I feel like we wouldn't have seen each other if any of our kids were sick anyway.
True.
I mean, that's the reason we didn't see each other for like 2 months before the pandemic even started, right? Do you remember?
Yes.
Which,
yes,
I still contend that was COVID. Like, you guys had COVID back then.
Yeah.
You know, and we've like in December, we were sick. Like, you know, I lost my voice, all that stuff. And we wouldn't have seen you even if it wasn't a pandemic time. So, you know, I think that when you have four kids, like, it's not a surprise that like most of the time one of them is going to have some kind of sniffle.
That's true. The stars have to align for a family of like two families of four children to be able to get together.
For sure.
But anyway, so he's 11 months old. Oh my God, he's almost a year. How is he? What's going on?
Well, I think we have a walker, Shauna.
What? Oh my God, and he's walking. He's a toddler now. Whoa.
Well, first of all, no, I'm not calling him a toddler until he's officially 12 months old, okay?
Oh, okay.
Like, leave my infant alone. He's a baby.
I take it back.
I don't care if he's standing on his two legs and toddling around. He is a baby, and he will stay that way until...
He could be running marathons, but if he's not 12 months old, he's a baby. Gotcha.
Baby. Infant. My little itty-bitty baby is walking. Mm-hmm. I guess. I don't know. Like, the question is, where do you define walking? Because, like, he's taken one or two momentum-driven steps, like, between our couch and very soft ottoman for the last couple weeks. Like, he'll sort of turn around while cruising and, like, launch himself towards the ottoman and take one step between there, right? So he's done his, quote, first steps. I'm not entirely sure when it happened because I didn't, like, mark it down. It was always like, was that a step or was that just him falling and catching himself, you know? Like, what was that?
Uh-huh.
But this week, he took 4 clear steps in a row.
Wow.
Step. And then fell on his butt. Now, he's not like ambulatory, right? He's not like getting places by walking, but he has the ability to take multiple steps in a row.
Yeah.
So is that a walker? Like, is he walking?
Yeah. I think so. I mean, he's balancing, standing upright, moving with his legs and feet. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, that does sound like walking to me. When you put it that way. And then, you know, the other thing he's doing, too, is he's pulling himself to stand on, like, nothing things, like things that do not provide any stability. So the most clear example I've seen is this lawnmower toy we have.
Yeah.
That's, like, made out of plastic. And it weighs nothing. And when you, like, lean on the handle, it takes no pressure to pull it down. And the other day we were in the backyard and he just like crawls over to it, reaches up as though it were like a stable, you know, tabletop or something he could pull up on. And he quote unquote pulled himself to stand on the lawnmower.
Oh.
And so I'm like, is it all psychological? Like, could he just be walking all the way across the room if he didn't like realize he wasn't holding on to something?
Oh, maybe.
Because he will also like hold stuff and he'll like take extra steps. Like the four steps, I think, happened when he was like holding something in his hands. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, it's all psychological.
Yeah. Yeah. He needs that sense of security, I mm-hmm. think, right in the beginning, right? Because this is all so new to him. So I totally get that.
Can I send you the video of the lawnmower trick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I am like going back to analyze this pull to stand. Oh my God. He's so agile. He's effortless at standing. He doesn't even need that thing there. It's just the presence of something in his hand to give him mm-hmm. confidence, but he should be doing this on his own in no time.
Yeah, it's imminent. So that's exciting. I mean,
yeah,
it's cute. Augie didn't walk till after he was one, so it's kind of cute to have a earlier walker.
Yeah.
The thing I can't post to our social media is the naked walking, which is just like the cutest thing ever.
Little baby bum.
Little baby butt. Well, they're like cellulite. So cute. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's what's going on with my little itty bitty baby who is not a toddler. Not at all.
Okay. Definitely not.
Not for another 29 days or something.
Okay. All right. I'll give it to you.
So what's going on with Augie, my almost 3-year-old. He's 3 in 2 days, Shauna, by the way.
Whoa.
2 days.
Oh, my God. This is so wild. Our kids are so big.
I know. I feel like we hear from listeners who binge listen to our podcast, and it must be, like, so weird to hear our kids grow up so fast.
Yeah. That's, like, supersonic speed.
Yeah. Don't worry. If you're like pregnant and binging the show, it doesn't actually go as fast as it seems. I mean, it does go fast, but not this fast. So
yeah,
you're okay. Just, you know, savor your moments. But my almost 3-year-old is just like very clearly more complex all of a sudden. Like I've noticed this week that he's just kind of like having a little bit more of higher level thinking and expression. And the two examples I have of this that are like more concrete are, one, he is talking in like the most intense run-on sentences
really?
I've ever heard. Yeah, like, first we're going to go to the store, and then we're going to get some chips. And when we get the chips, we're going to eat the chips, and the chips are good. And then we're going to get more chips, and then it's going to be playtime. I'm going to be Yoda. You be no. I'm going to be Luke Skywalker. You be Yoda. No, I'm Spidey, and you're Ghosty. No, I'm Ghosty, and you're Spidey. And then we're going to get chips. And then, like, literally, like, no breath. It just keeps going. And I'm just like, Corey and I just stare at him, and we're like, uh-huh. You know, just like, what?
Wow.
I mean, chatterbox. He's always been a chatterbox, but the stream of consciousness stuff coming out of him.
It's such a great window into the brain of a 3-year-old or almost 3-year-old. It's like, oh, okay, that's literally what you're thinking. And it's just coming out of your mouth. Now I know.
But the other example I wanted to give about how he's like processing things differently is we were driving the other day and he goes, Mama, people are called people because they pee-pee.
That's amazing. I love that logic.
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, no, but sure. Yeah, great. I was like, that's an interesting connection you've made there. You've made a connection to the sounds of those two words and the fact that people pee-pee. And of course, this is on his mind because we just potty trained, right?
Yeah, true.
But I thought that was really funny. And yeah, it's just very clear to me that he is he's getting older and smarter. And mm-hmm. yeah,
that's what they
it's
do.
It's fun to watch. Yep. I know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Well, that is fun.
Yeah. So we've had a fun week. How about you? How are your girls?
Oh, we're hanging in there. Cece's a couple weeks past 3 and Elle is off school for her winter break, you know, for mm-hmm. 3 weeks. And so there's just like a lot of kid action all day, every day in our household. And it's really great at times because Cece has a playmate, you know, all day and they play really well and stuff. And then on the other hand, it's like fueling her jealousy and her neediness of me. She is just on fire with like, Mom, I need you. Mom, I need you. And usually that means she wants me to pick her up and mm-hmm. take her everywhere with me. Like, even if I get up and I'm like, I'm going to go to the bathroom real quick, it's like, no, like, has to come with me. And it's this big thing. And so very needy of my attention. I think a lot of it is driven by this, like, jealousy of seeing her bigger sister also need attention from me. So the other day we were sitting on the couch. Cece was sitting on my lap. I don't know. We were reading a book together or something. And Elle came over and sat right next to me to join us. And Cece got pissed. She was like, no, no, I want mama. I don't want Elle to use mama. And I was like, use mama. I was like, wow, I have been reduced to a prop being used by my three-year-old. She just had never put it that way before. But like the way she articulated in that moment, I was just like, wow, that explains so much.
Like you're a toy they have to share or the potty.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Oh, no.
No, I don't want Elle to use mama. Like, sorry, honey. Everyone gets to use mama. Mama's here for the using.
Mama's all right, everybody. For use.
Yeah, here for use. So, you know, that's been a challenge, but it's fine. A bright spot in the week is that Aunt Leslie has been in town visiting. That's Steve's sister. Yeah, she's amazing and wonderful. We haven't seen her in 2 years, but she finally got the chance to come out and they love her. Oh, my God. They just, especially Elle, has always hit it off with her. So they spent a lot of time laughing, like building Legos, playing games. So that's been really, really nice.
Oh, that's great, because I love Leslie too. She actually just sent me some TikToks today. I got to go check my inbox. It said, Leslie sent you some TikToks.
Awesome. Yeah, she's great. The other thing I was going to talk about this week is dinner time in our house.
Oh, yeah.
Our dinner times have been an absolute fucking shit show over here. Like, I get so stressed about dinner, and I'm talking like my kids' dinner, right? Because most of the time we don't eat with the kids. Like when they get older and stop acting like wild animals at the table, like we will have a family dinner time, you know? But for now, it's like, for now we just hang out with them at the table. They eat, we chat or whatever. But they cannot focus on eating. It is like, and we have not done a great job instilling any type of table manners. Like, we try and just give up because it's the end of the day and our will has just been completely depleted for the day. And Elle is like up from the table, running around, telling jokes, dancing, playing with stuff. Cece follows suit. They stand at their plates. They like wriggle their butts in each other's faces. And in the meantime, they like forget to eat. And then it's like, okay, we got to like wrap this up and get on to bath time. And then at bedtime, Elle is like, I'm hungry. And I'm like, well, you should have eaten it. Dinner time. Yeah. You know, let's wait till tomorrow. No, I'm hungry. And I'm like, oh, great. Now we're going to have like a snack before bedtime routine, which I'm not into. I'm just like losing my mind.
Well, yeah, especially if you've already brushed teeth. It's like.
Exactly. Because you have to start the routine all over again, right?
Yeah. Last night, literally right before bed, I was reading a book with Augie and it ends with them eating ice cream. And first of all, I'm like, don't end a book with kids eating ice cream, please.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, he's like, I mean, he's so tired. And then he goes, ice cream? And I'm like, no, honey, do you want ice cream? And he starts like almost having a tantrum about it. And I'm just like, we're not. Like, there's no world where we would be having ice cream right now. You're like in your jammies under your blanket, like ice cream. I'm just like, it's like, maybe if you had eaten your goddamn dinner,
yes,
like you
right?
would be hungry right now. But oh yeah, I feel you on kids. That. I feel you on that.
Yeah. So I just don't know what to do. I feel like we need to be more strict with table manners. And we try to do like this Janet Lansbury thing. It's like, well, if you leave the table, that shows me you're done. I'm going to clear the plate. And it's like they took one bite and I'm going to clear the plate and then I'm going to pay for that later because of the meltdowns and blah, blah, blah. So I always cave and just put the plate back. And so, yeah, I don't know if listeners have any strategies on how to manage dinner time. I could use all the help I can get, and I really should look up some advice online because we're losing our minds.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat, so I don't really have any advice for you. But yes, I'm looking forward to hearing from our listeners because yikes, yes. Yikes.
Double yikes. So yeah, that's a part of our life that needs a little work, and I don't know, we'll figure something out, but that's where we are now.
What's for dinner tonight?
Oh God, who knows? Probably hot dogs.
You know what? I've actually never given Augie hot dogs just because, like, we don't eat them and it hasn't crossed my mind. But I think I need to get some because, as you know, our dinners are also a shit show. So thanks for the inspiration.
Yeah, they're good. That's one thing they almost always reliably eat.
All right.
So, yeah, might want to give it a whirl. But anyway, shall we take a break and move on to our special segment?
Yeah, let's do it.
Laura, we recently had our moms on the show, and it was so fun hearing their stories from the past.
I loved hearing what they had to share about their experiences being pregnant and having young kids, but you know they have so many more amazing memories and stories to share.
Yes, and that's why StoryWorth is such a wonderful gift for the mother figure in your life. It's a way to capture those stories and memories for years to come.
And what better time to give StoryWorth than for Mother's Day, which is right around the corner. Right now, our listeners can save $10 off your first purchase by going to storyworth.com/BFP.
Here's how it works. Each week, StoryWorth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, such as, what is your favorite memory of your parents?
All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter.
You'll be emailed a copy of your loved one's response as they're submitted over the course of the year. You'll get to enjoy their retelling of the stories you already know or be surprised by stories you've never heard before.
After that year of fun, StoryWorth compiles your loved one's stories and photos into a beautiful keepsake hardcover book that you'll be able to share and revisit for generations to come.
I gifted StoryWorth to my mom a couple years ago, and her hardcover book is a special memento on my bookshelf that my girls and I love to look through.
My mom did one too and included lots of pictures from her childhood, which Sebastian and Augie love looking at.
Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years. StoryWorth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/BFP.
That's storyworth.com/BFP to save $10 on your first purchase. There's nothing like the feeling of being confident in your own skin. No complicated routine, no multiple step protocols, just simple, scientifically validated solutions.
Absolutely. That's why we have to tell you about today's sponsor, OneSkin. Their products make it easy to keep your skin healthy while looking and feeling your best.
The secret to OneSkin's success is their proprietary OS1 peptide, which switches off the aging cells and has been clinically proven to strengthen the skin barrier and improve skin health markers.
For a limited time, our listeners will get an exclusive 15% off OneSkin products using the code BFP when you check out at OneSkin.co.
One of my favorite things about OneSkin products is how easy they are to use. I swear, I've seen skin routines with like 20 steps, but not OneSkin. Just cleanse, pat your skin dry, and apply twice daily.
We aren't the only ones who love OneSkin. OneSkin has over 4,000 five-star reviews, and were recognized by Fast Company as one of the most innovative brands in 2024.
OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer.
My skin tends to get really irritated this time of year, but since using the OneSkin face supplement every day, my skin feels calm and healthy. I've also been using the eye topical supplement, which I really feel brightens up my face.
Get started today with 15% off using code BFP at oneskin.co.
That's 15% off oneskin.co with code BFP. After your purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you.
Okay, I will be the first to admit that I don't always prioritize my own wellness. With kids and work, it never feels easy to fit in taking care of myself. But with Allo Moves, I find it easier than ever to do so.
Same. With the Allo Moves app, everything I need is in one place. Yoga, Pilates, fitness classes, mindfulness, and so much more.
If you're curious what Allo Moves has to offer, visit allomoves.com and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and 20% off an annual membership.
I love that I can easily find a class that's perfectly suited to my interests and ability level. They offer classes from beginner to advanced, and all classes are on demand, so you can fit them into your busy schedule.
They have high-intensity classes if you're looking to get in a good sweat, and low-key mindfulness classes if you're looking to get centered. They even offer help with sleep, which we all know is crucial for moms.
Ever since I watched The Art of Sleep on Allo Moves, I've been falling asleep faster and staying asleep longer.
One thing I really like about Allo Moves is that they create themed playlists, so it's easy to find content on the areas you're interested in. One of my favorite playlists right now is called Meditation for Productivity.
Ooh, I love the sound of that one. Unlock your personal wellness routine with Allo Moves. Go to allomoves.com now and use code BFP for an exclusive 30-day free trial and enjoy 20% off an annual membership.
That's allomoves.com, code BFP. allomoves.com, code BFP.
Quick heads up before we start our special segment, which is an amazing interview with Stephanie Lehman from the University of California Health Milk Bank. When we asked Stephanie about working at the milk bank, she does mention bereaved mothers. So if that's something you'd rather not hear about, please skip ahead about 5 minutes at that point.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the show. So for our special segment this week, we have an interview with Stephanie Lehman. She is from the UC Health Milk Bank, and she's here to talk about human milk donation. That's also known as breast milk donation. And it's a thing that I'm currently in the process of doing. So we wanted to bring her on the show so we could learn more about it because it's a super fascinating process and a really great resource. So hello, Stephanie.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. So we have talked a fair amount over the last couple of months. I feel like we talked on the phone a couple of times and we've sent emails back and forth. But this is the first time I think we really will get to sit and have a real like in-depth conversation. And I'm super excited about it. So I think we should just jump right in. And I'll just ask the first question, which is like, what is the UC Health Milk Bank and like, when did it start?
So the UC Health Milk Bank was a dream of our director, Dr. Stellwagen, probably for the last 15 years. And she and Dr. Kim have worked really hard over this time to try to ensure that there was the milk bank in Southern California, because until us, there was only one milk bank in California, and we wanted to make sure that the needs of Southern California were being met so that the most critically ill babies had access to donor milk. About 5 years ago, a wonderful donor stepped in and made this a priority, and we were able to really get up and running about a year and a half ago. And it's been a long process with a lot of ups and downs, but it's become a reality. And Dr. Stellwagen has put everything into this and making it the most up-to-date, most, you know, just really, really state-of-the-art milk bank to ensure that these babies are getting the best product possible.
And for listeners who might not know, UC stands for University of California, and you guys are the San Diego branch of the UC system. Is that right?
We are all of UC. We happen to be located in San Diego, and Dr. Stellwagen has been a pediatrician at UCSD for, gosh, probably 30 years. And actually, that's how I met Dr. Stellwagen. She was the physician on charge when my daughter was born at UCSD almost 17 years ago. And she was born prematurely, 27-weeker, born at just over a pound.
Wow.
And Dr. Stellwagen was incredible. And, you know, she made it possible for me to get a hospital-grade pump and ensure that I could provide human milk to my daughter. And I got to know her really well and ended up wanting to give back. You know, it's like, how do you give back to a group of people that saved your daughter's life, right? So about 5 years later, I worked with her on a whole program on infant nutrition. And as part of that arm, we created a mom-to-mom support group for new moms of premature babies. And then one thing led to another, and I started helping her write some grants. And then eventually our private funder came through and this became a reality. And so it's a not only a love for Dr. Stellwagen, but it's very close to my heart as well.
That's an incredible story. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
So you said you've only been around for about a year and a half, which totally explains why I hadn't heard of you sooner, because you weren't around when my first baby was born 3 years ago. And so can anyone in the country donate, or do you have a geographical limit?
You know, we try to focus on Southern California, all of California. And, you know, we can take milk from most places, but there are 30 milk banks, Humana accredited, which is the Human Milk Banking Association of North America, across the country and in Canada. And so we do, you know, each donor should sort of can look on the website for Humana and find the closest milk bank to them. And so that's probably the first place I would start. But like I said earlier, we are the only milk bank that's affiliated with a university, which makes us a little bit different.
So once a donor has gone through the process and is approved, how much milk do they need to donate? Because I'm thinking about when I used to pump and I'd like eke out maybe 2 ounces. Is that enough? Or do you guys kind of want donors to collect up milk and then donate like a lump sum? How does that work?
So that's a great question. So for our donors who are here locally in San Diego, we ask that there's a minimum of 100 ounces before making their first donation. And for moms who are out of the area who will be shipping, we ask that there's a minimum of 200 to 250 ounces before shipping their milk. And, you know, a lot of moms are just overproducers. They make a lot of milk. It's much more than their own baby needs. And so they're able to share with us. It is something that oftentimes it's just genetic and it happens. It's nothing you can like make yourself do. You can, however, increase your milk production, you know, by making sure your breasts are emptied and pumping throughout the day. And, you know, we do need these minimum amounts in order to have enough to do our bacterial testing and to have enough to do our nutritional analysis, which is something really cool we provide to our moms is our milk techs will do a nutritional analysis of every donor's milk. So we'll be able to let our donors know what the calorie, fat, protein, and carbohydrate composition is of their milk, which is kind of a fun thing to know. And it's reassuring to moms. Like, you know, I often get the question, how do I know if my milk is good? And my answer is usually, look at your baby. How's your baby doing? But this is just verification for a lot of moms that your milk is great. And we do use this milk in a very clinical, or the nutrition analysis in a very clinical way. So our milk techs are able to very precisely on every single bottle of milk, which is a pooled sample. So you should know that the milk techs will take milk from about 4 different donors, combine it to make one milk product, and then give that out, pasteurize that, and then it will go out to NICUs. And the reason that we do that is twofold. So the first thing is we want to make sure, so there is a range of bioactive factors, nutrition in mom's milk. And by combining milk from 4 different moms, we're really guaranteeing that we get that whole range to make sure we're getting the best mixture of milk and all the wonderful things that come with milk and get that to the babies who are critically ill. And then the other reason is that one of the incredible benefits of human milk is the prevention of something called necrotizing enterocolitis, which is an awful infection of the gut. Of typically micropreemies, which are premature babies born at about 1,500 grams or less. So that's like right around 3 pounds or less at birth. Mm. And unfortunately, a lot of these babies do get necrotizing enterocolitis. And really, in terms of treatment, the only thing that can be done is surgery and cutting out parts of the bowel. And unfortunately, that's oftentimes will lead to death. And so if these babies who are micropreemies receive human milk, whether it's donated and pasteurized or mom's own milk exclusively, so no other product, These babies, the incidence of necrotizing enterocolitis goes down by almost 95%, which is remarkable.
Wow.
And so I really want to express to our donors, like, you are not just providing a gift of nutrition to these babies. You are providing medicine. You're providing something that will save babies' lives, is saving babies' lives. And I know that sounds, you know, trite, but it's true. It is the only thing, like, anything that can prevent an awful thing like necrotizing enterocolitis by up to 95% is remarkable. And so we just want to stress how important this gift is, how impactful this gift of milk is, and get the word out that these donations are imperative for the health of our most at-risk patients in the hospitals. And we are doing everything we can to get the best milk product out to these hospitals. And if a mom is, her milk is particularly high in protein and calories, our techs are able to combine that with other moms of similar nutritional value milk and create a product that has really high calories and protein. And that is really important for these teeny tiny babies who their guts cannot tolerate a high volume of milk. It's often going down to two and their bowels just can't handle a high volume. And so oftentimes what would happen before is a hospital would take human milk, pasteurized human milk, donor human milk, and add fortifier to it. Well, every time you add fortifier, that increases the volume. And so by using a product of milk that has higher protein and calories, but the lower volume, these babies are able to tolerate that milk much better. And they're just growing better and all around just enhanced health. So there's a lot of really great things, you know, with the technology that we have, we're able to do. And we are a nonprofit milk bank. And so we are doing everything we can to ensure that every child's baby who needs donor milk has access.
Yeah, you know, I feel like it's not often remembered that when we're talking about human milk donation, I think the first thing that pops into a lot of parents' minds is this, like, Facebook sharing, right?
Right.
But what people don't always think about are these teeny tiny micro preemies and how it's, like you said, it's actually equivalent to medicine for them. It's hugely beneficial for them. It gives me an opportunity to feel very, like, smug and holier than thou, that I get to like squirt this boob medicine out and send it to you guys. I'm gathering it up. I just hit the 200 ounce mark. I fell behind because I had to take antibiotics for this cold that I had that turned into a sinus infection. And so I couldn't donate during that time. And so I was like, oh, my goal, it's so far away, but I'm getting there. I've now crossed the 200 ounce mark, so I'm definitely going to be sending that in. Speaking of the interview we did, maybe we should talk a little bit about what the process is of becoming a donor, how it happens, and what people would expect if they decide to start this process.
Absolutely. So there's a little bit of computer time where you have to fill out a couple of questionnaires. One of them takes a little bit of time. It's a lot of questions about health, medications, lifestyle, things that might put milk, you know, at risk. And so, you know, part of this process is quite rigorous. We want to ensure, number one, the safety of the milk, because it is going to the most at-risk babies. I can't express that enough. And so it is a bit of a process, but it's for a reason, and it's for a great reason. And so after these questionnaires are filled out, then, like you said, we do an interview to verify some of that information. I can follow up on some of the information that you give us. We do require that a consent form is filled out by the maternal provider. So that could be an OB or a midwife. And so once we get that signed, then we can go ahead and get the lab work done. So we want to make sure there's no illness, infection, anything that would put the baby at risk that would be transmissible through milk. So that's what we are testing for. And then once we get that back, we can do the milk shipping and the milk drop off.
You know, I think it's really interesting how rigorous you are with it. And it's great, obviously, because obviously you need to know that the milk you're providing these vulnerable babies is good. And one thing that's interesting is that, you know, I took these antibiotics, which were totally safe for me to breastfeed my full-term healthy 10-month-old, right? But it was also disqualifying at the time, just while I was taking it and for a few days till it cleared my system, for your donation, which just goes to show how it's, you know, it's a different process and it's meant for a different recipient, right? And I think that it's great that you are that thorough.
Yeah, I mean, and we have to be. I mean, this is a part of our process and we have to abide by the standards of the Human Milk Banking Association of North America. So any human milk bank that's accredited really has to comply with the same standards. And so, you know, those standards are being changed all the time as more research comes out. And so if there's something that a mom is taking that maybe there's just not enough research done yet to know how transmissible it actually is through milk, then, you know, we're going to hold off on that, accepting milk while the mom is taking that. So, you know, it is a very, very conservative process, but understandably so.
One of the things Laura mentioned about the process is she's not going to be able to donate once her baby turns 1 year old. So I assume that's part of the criteria. Can you explain the reason for taking milk from babies that are under a year old?
Sure. So women and their milk production is incredibly amazing. So somehow your body knows that your baby's needs change over time and the milk will reflect that. So the nutritional composition of milk for a 1 month old looks very different than the nutritional composition of milk for a 1 year old. And somehow your body knows this 1 year old is taking in solids and getting nutrition from other places. And so your body adjusts to that. And so it's about the 1 year mark where you start to see a bit of a drop off in the nutrition and other factors. And so even though that milk is perfectly suited for the baby who's one, it doesn't necessarily have the components that we look for an infant, and then especially an at-risk infant. And so we kind of choose that 1 year mark as, you know, we're not taking milk right now that has been expressed after the baby's first birthday. Mm. And another really important time measure for us is we accept milk that's been frozen for up to 8 months. So milk that is in the freezer for about a year is what, you know, we kind of consider milk that is still viable to use for donation. Some of the bioactive factors tend to trend down after the milk has been frozen for more than a year. And so that 8 month mark gives us time to go ahead and collect your milk, process it, pasteurize it, and then get it back out to hospitals and the babies who need it the most, with a little bit of leeway in that time before that 1 year mark of frozen hits.
I see.
Well, that's also interesting because I feel like there's such a debate about how long your milk is safe. And if you're okay with up to 8 months, I feel like we should be okay with up to 8 months, is my guess.
Yeah, I mean, we're okay with a year. It's just that mm-hmm. we need that little time for processing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't think, it's not like milk spoils if it's been in the freezer. It just mm-hmm. might lose some of its efficacy mm-hmm. In terms of nutrients and bioactive factors. So I want to get that message out there. That milk is definitely, for your own use, more than okay at that 1 year mark.
Well, speaking of processing time, I know that, you know, you have all the analysis you do on the milk for donation, but I know you're also affiliated with a research aspect that's happening with the UC system. Can you talk about that?
Sure, no problem. So we are able to pasteurize milk for some of these amazing research projects that are going on. And Dr. Pia Panarj at Children's Hospital of LA, we worked with her and her group, and they were able to find that the COVID antibodies actually do show up in donor milk for up to 6 months after a vaccination.
Wow.
So human milk carries these antibodies from not just from COVID, the virus itself, but if a mom is to get vaccinated, these antibodies really peak at about 1 month, but seem to last up until about 6 months. And this is even after we pasteurize the milk. So that's pretty incredible. So that means the babies who are receiving our milk are getting the benefits of those vaccinations, which is remarkable. And then the other big set of research that's coming out with Lars Boda and Christina Chambers here at UCSD is the reassurance for moms that COVID, the virus, does not transmit from mom to baby through mom's milk. So the virus itself cannot replicate in mom's milk because mom's milk is magical. It has superpowers. And so moms can be rest assured, like we accept milk from moms who have been positive with the COVID virus. Depending on what medication they're on, that might exclude some milk, but the virus itself, there's no cause for worry for the milk itself.
Good to know. That's amazing.
And I'm happy to say that I was boosted during my collection period for y'all. So you're going to get some freshly boosted milk coming at you.
That's great.
The Health Milk Bank sounds like an absolutely amazing place. I'm so glad you shared all this with us. On a personal note, I'm curious, what's your favorite thing about working for the UC Health Milk Bank?
My absolute favorite thing about working at the UC Health Milk Bank is getting to meet the most incredible women. Our donors have such stories, reasons for donating. The generosity is phenomenal. And to know that we're in this community where these women want to help, and it's such a tangible way that, and pretty immediate way that they can impact the babies of their community. And I am just so fortunate to get to meet these women. Mm-hmm. You know, I know when we opened, which we did in a pandemic, which is not the way you want to start.
Right.
But to know that this community shows up and we're so, so, so grateful. And, you know, I know it's hard when COVID's around, and with this new surge now, you know, donors are kind of taking a step back. People are staying home a little bit more, but as it starts to subside, which research is showing it's on the down, hopefully, finger, I'm crossing everything.
Yes.
Then, you know, our donors will feel comfortable again coming on out. And it's by far just the most rewarding position to be in. And I would like to kind of piggyback that into one program that we're doing that is so near and dear to my heart. And again, meeting some incredible families and moms is what we call the Cherry Blossom Family. And so about 5 to 10% of milk donors are bereaved moms. And so their babies have passed away, their babies have died, and their bodies are still producing milk. And what do we do with that? You know, and it hurts and it's confusing. And that's a very ambiguous time for these moms. And I call them moms very intentionally and purposefully because their babies have died, but that does not mean that they are not moms. Mm. And so what our mission and our goal is to really ensure that any mom who has lost their baby has access to a pump, has access to information they need, if they do want to donate, if they have every right to change their mind 100 times, they don't have to commit to anything. And sometimes it's just weaning and making it comfortable for them. And what we have found is, and I have had the absolute privilege to help in the smallest way, these women to heal. And to go through this grieving process on their own time and to add meaning to their awful circumstance and their awful situation. And, you know, it's something that only they could do with their baby. They couldn't produce this milk without that baby, and their baby did not die in vain. And it's something that we are so grateful that we got some funding for this program. And then recently we found out that the likelihood is we're going to get pumps donated for this program. And so that is something, again, like being a part of these specific women's lives has been just, for me, just probably one of the most meaningful aspects of my job.
That's so incredible. Wow.
I just think that, you know, it's a situation that I don't think anyone expects themselves to be in. And right. So I'm glad you mentioned it, because, you know, it's good to have that information out there for anyone who finds themselves in that situation or has a friend or family who ends up in that situation. So that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. So this has been a wonderful interview. We've really enjoyed talking to you, Stephanie. So we close every show with a big fat positive or a big fat negative, but we always like to ask our interviewees if they have a positive, just a BFP to share with us. Stephanie, do you have one you'd like to share?
I mean, I really was, when I thought about it, it was going to be that we, this donation of the milk pump, the breast milk pumps, mm-hmm. As such a positive. Like, I am mm-hmm. over the moon. So grateful that this is happening and that this program is happening. And that is probably the biggest positive I can think of for my week and actually for my year.
Oh, that's so great. That's great. I love it. And where can our listeners go if they're interested in learning more about the UC Health Milk Bank or want to donate?
So if they go to ucmilkbank.ucsd.edu, they can find us. And our phone number here is 858-249-6455. And our Instagram handle is @UCMilkBank. And we would love to hear from you. We would love any questions. We're happy to help. That's my job, is I am here for our amazing donors, and I'm here to answer questions and help you through the process. I hope that you felt that way, that you were kind of helped through the process as you went and felt like you had the support that you needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I felt like even though it was a number of steps, it was very easy. You made it very easy. There's a really convenient online portal that I can always ask questions. You know, I asked, like, I went to the dermatologist and they want me to use this skin cream. Is that okay? You know, like, very simple, easy interaction. So you make the process very easy. And it was fun to talk to you on the phone. So
it was fun to talk to you too.
So yeah, I'm really glad that I found you, and I hope our listeners can connect with you if they're interested in donation, or with another milk bank in their area if they're not in the Southern California area. But Stephanie, thanks so much for being on the show. And also thanks so much for everything you do. You're providing a really special and unique service that I think should be celebrated. So good for you.
Well, thank you. It's been my pleasure, and I appreciate the time. And it has been lovely talking with you both.
Yes. Thank you, Stephanie. So wonderful to talk to you. And Laura, I think it's time for us to take a little break and move on to our big fat positives or big fat negatives of the week.
Let's do it.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Shauna, think of all the relationships you have in your life. From parents, siblings, your friends, kids, coworkers, even neighbors. There's a lot of human interaction, which we know doesn't always go perfectly.
Oh, you know I don't have a perfect relationship with my next door neighbor. And I can't change her, but I can work on my own reactions to her and how she treats my family.
Absolutely. Strengthening your own coping skills and setting healthy boundaries in any relationship are important. And therapy can be a great place to work on these types of things.
Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. Not only that, therapy can help you handle stress, deal with burnout, and empower you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma, although of course it is helpful in those situations too.
I've noticed that doing weekly therapy helps me handle the things that cause overwhelm in my life, like constantly balancing kids, work, and self-care.
I love that therapy helps me have insights about myself that I might not have otherwise. It's always great to get an objective take on what I'm going through.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Become your own soulmate, whether you're looking for one or not. Visit BetterHelp.com/BFP today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/BFP. Hey, listeners. This episode is proudly brought to you by L'Olivie, an award-winning hair care line founded by the fabulous Jennifer Aniston. You know, hair so iconic, it needs no introduction.
Okay, imagine this. Jen got tired of the same old struggle we all face, choosing between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. With L'Olivie, that dilemma is history.
We all put our hair through the wringer. Coloring, heat styling, stress, the list goes on. Over time, it takes a toll. That's why it's crucial to have products that not only repair the look of the damage, but also shield your locks from future harm.
Enter L'Olivie's bestsellers, the cult classic Glossing Detangler and Perfecting Leave-In Conditioner. These aren't just styling products, they're your hair's new best friends.
And here's a treat for you listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at L'Olivie.com. Just use code BFP at checkout. I have been using the Glossing Detangler and Leave-In Conditioner, and I love them. I love how soft and healthy my hair feels after using them.
I love their restorative shampoo and conditioner plus intensive repair treatment. They smell so good, make my shower feel like a spa, and never leave my hair looking or feeling dry.
L'Olivie's products are naturally derived in plant-based goodness. No silicone, sulfates, parabens, or gluten, and of course, cruelty-free and vegan.
Unlock Jennifer Aniston-approved hair at L'Olivie.com. As our loyal listeners, you'll get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code BFP at checkout.
That's 15% off your order at L-O-L-A-V-I-E.com with promo code BFP. Please note, you can only use one promo code per order and discounts can't be combined.
After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you.
We are back, and every week we wrap it up with our weekly Big Fat Positives or Big Fat Negatives of the week. So, Laura, you're up first, and what do you got for us?
I have a Big Fat Positive.
Ooh, okay.
And this is something I found on TikTok.
Oh.
My favorite social media, as you know.
Love it.
So this is a video I saw from at Parenting Coach, which is like, oh, Parenting Coach, that's what I need. Like, I will follow you. Instant follow. But it was a little tip about how to change your language when you have kids who are like not doing what you want them to do. And it's like a really, really simple change, but it was really very like, it's very concise and very, it wasn't intuitive for me. Like it was really eye-opening for me to hear this. Mm. So the basic premise is that if you've tried using the when/then language with your kids, so when you get on your pants, then we can go outside. Or when, I feel like most people would have used shoes as an example in that sentence, but in our family, it's pants.
Pants are always a struggle.
Mm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like when you sit at the table, then you can eat your raisins or whatever, right? If that's not working, and often I find it doesn't work, then you move on to the either/or. So either you can get your pants on or we won't be able to go outside. And it kind of just shifts you to a little bit more of a consequence.
Right.
You know, because when then indicates that it's still a wide open world of possibility, right? Like when you brush your teeth, then we'll be able to read books before bedtime, right? But if that's not working, and then you say, either you brush your teeth or we won't have time for books before bedtime. Like it has a little more weight. Right. It's a little more dire, you know, like it really is saying, look, we're just not going to be able to do this other thing until you do the first thing.
Right.
So I feel like, and it also ties in with the wry, like natural consequences or logical consequences thing. Mm-hmm. So it's not like you're just coming up with willy nilly punishments for kids who aren't doing what you want. And yeah, I don't know. I thought it was very insightful and I just wanted to share.
That's really cool. It definitely puts a little bit more onus on the child to make that decision. Like they're making a decision between the two options because what I find myself doing is if language, like if you don't brush your teeth, we won't have time for our books, which almost makes it seem more like, I'm doing the consequence. I'm creating mm-hmm. the punishing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it feels like when you give them a choice, but their choice is do the thing or have a consequence. They're yeah. in control in a little bit of a way. So that's interesting. I'm definitely going to try that. Have you tried it? Are you having success?
I mean, everything is a mixed bag, but I did try it. And, you know, I mean, I think it's been working to get bedtime, I think, a little bit more timely, I guess. Like, there's just been a lot of like, I'm not ready for jammies. I'm not ready for brushing my teeth. I want to play some more. And so I was able to say, like, well, either you get your jammies on or we won't have time to play another round of Spidey and Ghosty, you know, like, I mean, I think we need a few more weeks of practice before I can tell you if it's really a surefire way to get them to do what we need them to do. But yeah, it's another tool in your tool belt, I think.
Yeah. And what was the account again? Is it a helpful account to follow?
Yeah. So far, I've really been enjoying the stuff she's been putting out. Her name is Tia, and she goes by @parentingcoach. So
Okay.
Definitely give her a follow. I love all the really educational content you can get on TikTok. I feel like it's readily available, and it's really fun to get like tips on how to wrangle your children in between like fun cat videos. It's a nice mix.
Yeah, a good mix. I need you to send me a list, or maybe I should just go through all of the accounts you follow and then also follow them, because when I go to TikTok, it's like funny grandmas and like prancing dogs with two legs, and like it is so, like, I don't know how to curate a list of TikTok accounts, you know, that would be helpful.
So my understanding is it's less about who you follow, although that does matter. But it's more about how long you stay and watch videos. Like, you have to teach the algorithm what you like.
Oh, so it thinks that, okay, so I'm teaching it that I like funny grandmas, basically.
But if you say, like, watch a video 3 to 100 times in a row because you forgot to turn it off, or you just really got sucked into some, like, clickbaity, why is this grandma singing and dancing video, but you actually don't want more of that. If you long hold on the middle of the video, you'll get a little menu where you can say not interested.
Ooh.
Yeah, I use that not interested button as much as possible. So if I, like, for some reason lately, the algorithm started sending me into like Minecraft and gaming stuff that I'm not interested in. So it's not that there was anything wrong with the videos. It just wasn't my niche. So I did not interested on a bunch of them and quickly got my algorithm heading straight back to the cat videos, parent education videos, and crafts.
Okay, got it. All right, that's a hot tip. All right, yeah. I'm going to spend some time on TikTok today and see if I can, do my homework, improve my algorithm.
Go find some baking videos. There's a lot of really good baking videos, and I know you love that, like cake decorating and stuff like that.
Yes. Look, here's the thing is, like, I get all that on Instagram. So, like, I do. I follow a lot of accounts like that. But I should try TikTok because that's, like, the cool thing to do, and I want to be cool, so I need to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need to. It's necessary.
You need to. All righty.
Okay, so wait, do you have a BFP or a BFN? I'm guessing yours is not TikTok and how much you love it.
It's not TikTok. No. I have a BFN this week.
Oh, no. Okay. Mm-hmm. What happened?
So you all have been on a journey with me for things related to, like, birth control, IUD, just cycle stuff. Right. So I thought this would be an appropriate thing to share on the show. If it's not, just tell me and I'll come up with something else. Okay.
Okay. You're saying it's an appropriate thing, not an inappropriate thing.
I don't know. You be the judge of that. Okay.
All right. On pins and needles. Let's find out.
Okay. So, you know, my dance with the IUD did not work out. And so I'm back to getting, like, a regular period every month. Mm-hmm. And recently someone posted in one of my mom's groups something along the lines of, oh my God, I just tried using the salt cup and it has changed my life. And other people are chiming in like, oh my God, it's amazing. Like, tampons, be gone with you, whatever, this cup. Like, everyone's all about the cup. And I've heard about the cup before, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's people who like their Diva cups and their various menstrual cups are very vocal about it, I feel like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And good, because otherwise, you know, no one would know about them. So,
yeah. So I was definitely like, I don't think a cup is for me. Like, I was just a hard no. I wasn't really open to the idea. But then the next time I got my period, so I went to the Target app to buy some more tampons. And I remembered that post. And I was like, you know what? Impulse buy. So I bought the salt cup and got it that day and figured out how to put it in. I was very intimidated by it. You know, for those who don't know, it's kind of like a silicone cup that you kind of like squeeze together, like pinch together and put up inside your vagina, and it like opens up and creates like a suction and catches all the blood. Mm-hmm. And when like your 12 hours are up or you want to change it, you like just pull it out, dump it out, whatever. It's like, I wasn't really into that idea either, but people are singing the praises of this thing like so much that I had to see what it was all about. Mm-hmm. So I put it in and went about my day, and like about 12 hours was coming up. It was right before bed. It was like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And I was like, all right, time to take this sucker out and see the magic that everyone's talking about.
Yeah.
And I went to take it out. Could not get it out. Could not get it out.
God. Like,
I was like, I started panicking. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that it would get stuck. I just thought it would be like the easiest thing. Like, it has this little like pull tab at the bottom.
Uh-huh.
I didn't read the instructions. Okay, I'm just gonna straight up be honest. I did not read the instructions ahead of time. So I thought I was just supposed to like pull the thing out by the tab and like boom, it'd be like easy peasy. And so I start, I'm like, this is not coming out like I thought it would. So then I like go into the trash, pull out the instructions that I had thrown away. And it's like, it's easy as pie. Just insert two fingers into your vagina, pinch the cups to break the seal and pull it out. And I was like, this is way too much information, I know. But like, I could not do that. I could not get my pinchers up in there. I don't know if I put it in too deep, like too far up, or like I just have too meaty of fingers. I was like, how do I get this out? I was like cold sweating. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to call Steve in here. And by some reason, my kids had left like there. They have like kids chopsticks, you know, they use. They had left their like little set of kids chopsticks in the bathroom because leave shit everywhere, right? I was like, oh my God, am I going to have to go in with chopsticks? Is Steve going to have to come in? Am I going to have to go back to the gynecologist and like get more needles put in? I was like panicking. And I was like, okay, my mom's group. I've got to like give an SOS. And so like at 11 o'clock at night, I go to my mom's group and I was like, help. I tried the salt cup and it is stuck. What do I do? And like, hallelujah. They all started like chiming in, like, all you have to do is pinch it and break the seal. I'm like, I'm trying to do that, God damn it, I can't reach it. And they're giving me tips. And one mom was like, okay, here's what you do. Get in the bathtub, squat down, and like bear down. So it like kind of starts pushing the cup down your vaginal canal. I was like, oh my God, you guys, I have only had C-sections. This is like the closest I'm ever going to come to giving vaginal birth. Okay, I'll do it. Oh my God, in the meantime, Steve has no clue any of this is going on, right? Because he's like still watching TV out there. I'm like, I really, really don't want to call him in to help me with this situation.
He's like, this episode of Succession is really good.
Yeah, so great. Oh, so my salt cup doulas, aka my mom's group, are coaching me through this. I'm like squatting down in the bathtub. I'm like, oh, like I bear down. My mom's like, you got to bear down, like kind of like, you know, the movement you do when you're about to poop, you know. I'm like, oh my God, okay. I'm like, bear down, like jam my fingers up there. Finally, like I was able to break the suction and get it out. And I was like, thank God. I have never felt so relieved. So I birthed the salt cup and like, you know, I was like, thank God. Cleaned it off. And I was like, well, I might as well put it back in. So put it back in.
Well, now you know how to get it out. All you need to do is give birth.
Yeah, that's all. It's like, well, you know, it'll probably be better next time. And I spent like $30 on this thing. I don't want to trash it. So
yeah.
I guess it turned out to be a BFP, really, because I ended up just using it for the rest of my cycle. And it is pretty cool because it really feels like you're not on your period at all. Like, just it catches everything way up in there. Like, there's no, I didn't have to wear any type of like light pad or anything to catch any whatever drips and drops. Like, it was pretty great. Like, once I figured out how to get it out.
Okay.
But yeah, that like 20 minutes of my life was kind of a nightmare.
My concern about those cups, well, first of all, I'm like not getting my period at all. So it's not, it's all theoretical, but like, is the spillage like of menstrual fluid as you try to take it out? Is that an issue?
Yeah. I think it probably could be. At least this period wasn't that heavy. I don't have like super heavy periods. So I was kind of able to control it enough that like once it came out, I could just like pour it into the toilet. Okay. This is so TMI. But I could see that if you have like a really heavy period, you probably want to like change it more, or yeah, you might have that problem. But it really wasn't as bad as I thought it would be as far as that goes.
And I know you don't like blood. Like you don't like bodily fluids in general, I feel like.
No.
I mean, who does? But I feel like on the bell curve of where people's tolerance are for it, like your tolerance is low in general. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was definitely like gritting my teeth and like kind of squinting my eyes a bit, like, you know, during that whole process, like, this is too close for comfort.
Amazing.
But
well,
yeah. I don't know.
All right.
It's all right.
Well, I'm glad that it worked out for you in the end. I'm sorry you have to birth it for the first time, but I guess there's a first time for everything.
Yeah, exactly. So can I now say I've had a vaginal birth?
I was going to say you've had a VBAC.
I had a VBAC.
Congratulations on your bundle of joy.
Oh, thank you. I've named her Sally. I don't know. God. All right. So that's my
Amazing.
Life. Anyway, I think maybe we should wrap this up.
Okay. I think we should.
Yes. Listeners, if there's anything you want to share with us, we are never afraid of TMI, too much information. So, you know, reach out. Let us know what's going on in your world. Laura, where can they reach us?
We're on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and of course, TikTok at BFP Podcast. We have a website, bigfatpositivepodcast.com. If you want to send us an email, you can just throw a voice memo into that email. We'll love it. Just send it to contact@bigfatpositivepodcast.com. And finally, if you want to join the coolest group of people on the internet, search Facebook for Big Fat Positive Community, request to join, and answer the 2 membership questions so you can be sent through to our private group full of wonderful, wonderful people.
If you love our show, please rate us and review us wherever you listen to podcasts. And Laura, we have another 5-star review to read this week.
We do.
All right, why don't you read it for us?
Okay, this one is titled Totally Binge-Worthy, 5 stars from a listener in Great Britain. Hello from across the pond. This listener says, hot tips and super fun special segments, smiley face. Thank you, Shauna and Laura, for being a wonderful soundtrack to my days over the past few months. Well, thank you for listening. We love having
you.
Yeah,
thank
you. Listening to our show. Yeah.
That's so awesome. All right, listeners, if you want to leave us a 5-star review, we might read it on the show, so head on over and do that now. And spread the word. Let your friends know about Big Fat Positive. Our show is produced by Laura Bierick, Shauna Maiko, and Steve Yeager. And for the record, I did not use my kids' chopsticks to get the salt cup out. I didn't know if that was clear, but I needed to throw that in, just to be sure.
I'm glad for that clarification. Thanks so
much. Good.
I can wrap up this episode happily now, in peace.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. See you next time.
Bye.